While Australia has the power to ban human rights abusers, corrupt officials and malicious cyber hackers from the country, also to seize their assets, those laws have only been used once in their year-long existence. And now the Human Rights Watch is calling on the Albanese government to use the Magnitsky-style sanctions to hold human rights abusers to account. Elaine Pearson is the Asia Director at Human Rights Watch, and she joins us on the program. Welcome, Elaine.
Good morning, Patricia.
Can you remind listeners what those sanctions actually look like and when the targeted measure has been used?
Yeah, so these are targeted sanctions. So they're not broad-based sanctions on an entire country, but sanctions on individuals who have committed human rights abuses, who are committing violations of international humanitarian law, or those who've been involved in serious corruption or activities to undermine good governance. So they're much more restricted, and they apply to individuals, but also entities. And this brings Australia, having this law brings Australia in line with other governments like the US, the UK, the EU and Canada. All of them have similar laws. And they're referred to as Magnitsky-style sanctions because they're named after a man, a Russian accountant, Sergei Magnitsky, who was tortured and killed in Russia. So, you know, it's great that we actually have this law now on the books. It's now been 1 year. I think the question is, you know, why is it that Australia has been so reluctant to actually use this law? It's really only been applied in the one case with respect to those authorities who were involved in the death of Sergei Magnitsky.
So how does our utilisation of this law compare to other nations like the US and the UK that have, you know, similar laws?
Well, Australia is lagging far behind our allied partners in applying these laws. So, you know, by comparison, the UK passed a very similar law in July of 2020. In the first year, they actually issued 78 designations against individuals and entities ranging from, I think it was 11 different human rights situations from around the globe. The US has applied targeted sanctions. They usually do it multiple times a year. And we know that Human Rights Day is coming up. It's this Saturday. I think Human Rights Day actually is a prime opportunity when other governments may be sanctioning individuals and entities. And so I think it's high time that Australia really look at individuals and entities who are responsible for the most serious human rights abuses, things like crimes against humanity, war crimes with impunity, and really take the step to catch up with, you know, its like-minded partners and issue some of these targeted sanctions, for instance, with respect to Myanmar, China, for what's happening in Xinjiang, and Iran are just some examples.
So what are the realities of the sanctions? What impact do they have on the individuals that are targeted?
So individuals who are targeted, these are travel bans. It means that they can't travel to Australia. And also if they have any assets in Australia, those assets will be frozen. So that is the impact of those sanctions.
And just to interrupt, sorry, but how often is that the case? I mean, do these people, you know, they're desperate to come for holidays to the Gold Coast? Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of how much it really affects their lives.
Well, I think it depends on the country, but I think, you know, I think for particularly some of the Southeast Asian countries like Myanmar, like Cambodia, also China, there may be individuals who have homes in Australia. They may be sending their children to school in Australia. They may be coming here for trips to go shopping, to, you know, visit other family members. They may have purchased property for family members. So actually these sanctions can be remarkably effective. And we know in other countries, you know, for instance, in France, there have been quite, you know, effective efforts to, you know, freeze the assets and homes of individuals who've been implicated in human rights abuses. Yeah. And likewise for the United States.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, it really explains the kind of tangible impact because sometimes these things, these laws seem very divorced from reality. So that was a helpful explanation. Thank you. You want the government to go further announcing new targeted sanctions. So what specifically, you know, where should those targets be?
Well, I think Myanmar is a prime one, right? I mean, you know, I think there's been a lot of discussion about Myanmar since the coup. We've seen, you know, horrendous crimes against humanity. We've seen, you know, people being executed. There are still killings going on. Even since the release of Sean Turnell and others, We've seen, you know, new prosecutions, new death sentences in Myanmar. So I think it really is time to turn up the heat there. And, you know, I think there's a bunch of individuals and entities who could be sanctioned. And I think these sanctions are really important also to send a message to Australian businesses that might be operating in Myanmar that there are consequences for, you know, facilitating transactions with junta-owned entities. I mean, we just saw, you know, recently over the last few weeks, some allegations about an Australian bank that had facilitated transactions with an entity that had been sanctioned by Canada and by other countries. And so, you know, these sanctions are more than just virtue signalling. I think they're a really important signal to Australian business that there will be consequences if, you know, Australian companies continue to engage, you know, particularly with the entities that are being controlled by the military in Myanmar. Likewise with China, I think now that we've seen the UN High Commissioner's report that says that crimes against humanity may have been committed in Xinjiang, you know, what are going to be the consequences for that? We've seen other governments like the EU, the UK, the US, Canada already impose targeted sanctions on senior officials in Xinjiang. Australia has not. So, you know, I think these are just a couple of the cases where, you know, Australia could actually, you know, take firm action beyond just the words of condemnation that Australia has already made about that situation in the UN and other forums.
Elaine, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Patricia.
Elaine Pearson is Asia Director for Human Rights Watch, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.